Hey, damn guys. Welcome to Book Club Member Comics. My name is John Salinas, and I'm here with...
Aubrey Lovelace.
And I'm Wes Matthijs.
Hey,
Wes.
Wes is back. Thank you so much, Wes. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, excited to be back.
This is our Book Club podcast. We're reading comics. We're talking to our friends. And now Aubrey's going to tell you all about it.
No, wait. Danielle's not here. Damn it. Okay, here we go. So whatever it is, we read a comic, and then we talk about that comic, and then you're going to listen to us talk about that comic, and then you're going to read that comic. Somehow that order's off somehow, but you get the gist. And then you're going to write in and talk to us about that comic while we're talking about a different comic, and then we'll read your thoughts, and then that's a book club.
Yes.
And that's friendship. And you can send us a hey, you damn guys through email, Facebook, and all the socials, you know.
Psychic message.
Write it on a piece of paper, fold it into an airplane, and throw it into the jet stream, and we'll get it. You know?
Yep. Mind bullets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a book club, and that's back to you, John.
Ah, thank you. Thank you so much, Aubrey. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't throw it to Wes. Yeah.
Yeah, you could have thrown it to me. I threw it to you last time.
Oh, shit, you did.
I was thinking there probably is a lot of mind reading going on, you know, with the book club just because it's been around so long.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
Like there's a lot of the hive mind thing going on. Awesome. I have some shouts outs for this week.
Shouts outs.
Yes, I wanted to shout out all of our book club members that were featured on our episode last week. So last week, you know, we didn't have the episode, so I threw together this outtakes thing.
Which was hilarious.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. I was really tickled by I didn't do it on purpose. I literally went in order of the outtakes that I have. All the outtakes, I just put them in order by date. And we happened to get Hayden Orr, Mark Tweedell. We got Wes in there. We got Matt Strackvine in there. Ross was in there also. Yeah. Yes, very good. It was cool.
That was actually pretty cool.
It was a nice cornucopia of the book club episode. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
And then there were things that we talked about that I completely forgot about.
Oh, everybody wanted to. Yeah, we'll get to it.
We'll
but anyway,
it, yeah.
I wanted to shout out all those book club members. So yeah. Anyway, they all have their projects going on, and you should check them out. And you, Wes, also, you're awesome. And you were on that episode, too.
Yeah, I'm just hanging. I got nothing of interest outside of this Baltimore. How far back, like, date-wise, did you go with the outtakes?
Oh, I think it was about a year almost exactly. Hold on, That's cool. I can actually pull that up. Hold on, wait.
Yeah, because some of the things we were talking about, like, Kathy and I were still living North Houston.
Yeah, and you were talking to Matt about seeing Mark Laszlo at the Comic-Con, and then we ended up doing that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's almost a year ago.
So that was from 2022?
Shit, that's February of last year, or 2 years ago.
Yeah. February of 2022 all the way to May of 22 is those outtakes.
Wow. That's crazy.
So that was like almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's
years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Almost exactly.
Damn. Yeah. It blows my mind that it's been longer than 2 years that we've been doing this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, we guys hit 100 episodes. You're past surpassed 100 episodes, right? This is 101.
Episodes. Oh, yeah. We didn't even say anything about that. Yes, 100 episodes.
Was it The Fifth Element, our 100th episode?
It was.
Yeah.
That's really good. Now we're going to go on to our listener feedback.
Listener feedback. Feedback.
Listener feedback.
From the feedback.
You got womp, it. Womp, 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 womp.
You read a story, we talk about it. You hey damn guys us, and it's a book club. Get out.
All right. We heard from Christopher Egan.
Christopher Egan.
Book club member.
Yes. Christopher said the rumors that they were going to make another Alita movie seem to have some weight behind them. We were talking about this recently, the Alita movies, and there were some rumors about that. But very little has been said. I just bought the 4K disc, and here's hoping they happen. I've tried 3 times to watch Avatar. I get like 4 to 5 episodes in, and I drop off. I don't know why. I know I should love it. It's 100% my kind of thing. I fully intend to watch it and Korra. Have you watched this, Wes? Avatar Last Airbender?
Yeah, I watched Avatar Last Airbender. I have a weird factoid, and we were talking about how I'm a diving coach. So Aang, I'm going to forget his name, but the voice who voiced Aang was a diver. And he was homeschooled in Connecticut. And he used to be on like Broadway and stuff like that in New York. When I first started coaching, he would do homeschool classes during the day. And I coached him like 2 or 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, how random is that? But yeah, I love Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's cool. Awesome.
That's an awesome factoid. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
no, I'm like, I need to like fact check it now and be like, he did do the voice, but he did. Like, it's so many times that I've gone over it. So
wow. That's cool.
He was super young. He wasn't doing Avatar at the time that I was coaching him.
Right.
It was later, but.
That's cool. And you're also cool. He also mentioned the peanut butter solution, which is what Aubrey was talking about. He said, this may be one of the wildest movies I've ever seen. Two of my other regular podcasts have discussed it. How Did This Get Made? And the horror comedy podcast Werewolf Ambulance. Truly insane. And I think pretty easy to find streaming. I believe the Blu-ray was recently made too. Very good. Thank you, Christopher.
Man, that movie is just just the weirdest movie.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm just like, maybe I'll get around to it.
Don't waste your time.
We were also talking about Daredevil. He said, I just finished collecting the current Zdarsky run hardcovers, so I had to reorganize my Daredevil section. And he also had an original Ross Radke art card. I have the Frank Miller stuff, and every single collected issue from the Kevin Smith run to current took me a long time to get them all. You know, I had a lot of those issues. I sold a lot of them, though.
Okay.
I sold a good chunk of those issues, but I still have some of them. He said, Mission Impossible is my favorite action movie series. Two is by far the worst, and is John Woo doing a U.S. James Bond ripoff. It's the only entry I don't own. I think it's a bad movie and feels like it exists in a different universe from the others. Dead Reckoning Part 1 is great, but didn't top entries 4 through 6 for me. Hopefully Part 2 really brings it home. We just watched all those Mission Impossibles. We were talking about them with Ross, right?
Yeah, right.
And we watched 1 through 6, and yes, 2 is absolutely, like, we couldn't even get through it. I think at a certain point we turned it off because Danielle was so angry that we were watching it. She was just like, oh, this movie sucks so bad. And then it gets better after that. But 4 is, yes, he's right. 4 through 6, we had to like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
4 is like my favorite. Yeah.
He is so good. It's hard to top that one.
I think I'm probably like the only person that likes Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, really? You like that one?
Yeah.
Wow, we didn't even make it through it.
Man, I saw it in the theater. I thought it was fun. I bought it when it came out on DVD, and I watched it over and over and over again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Now, as far as the compared to the rest of the other movies in this series, it is, in my opinion, the weakest in the series, but I didn't think it's a bad movie.
Right.
But then again, you know, sometimes I just like stupid action films.
No, that's okay. Everybody likes their own thing. And so
I'm a fan of John Woo's action movies.
Right. I like Rebecca Ferguson, so I really like
5 and 6
because those are the ones that she's in.
Yeah.
She's great in those. Are you a fan of the Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible as Wes?
I mean, I thought I was, but maybe I should rewatch them. But I loved the first one when it came out. It was so, I don't know, I was enamored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I haven't watched the new ones, the newish ones. Only 1 through 3. I don't think I watched past 3.
Oh, 4 is so good.
That's where they get good, Wes.
I'll check it out.
4 through 6 is truly worth seeing. I definitely recommend it.
Honestly, I think like 3 should also be included in that too, because 3 is really good.
3 is good. Yes, I agree.
That might have been the first movie I saw that J.J. Abrams directed.
Oh, okay. Chris also said, as a Blade Runner aficionado, it's with a heavy heart that I say Black Lotus is a miss for the series. It's a shame. And I can say that everything else that has been made to flesh out the franchise since 2049 has been good to great and has the same intelligence behind them that Black Lotus is missing. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for all the feedback, Chris.
Yes, thank you, Chris.
And finish Avatar. Do it. You can do it.
You can do it. Yes. We believe in you. We also heard from Julian Zamo.
Julian Zamo.
Book club member.
Yes. He said, hey, you damn guys, I'm sending this a bit late. Hopefully I make it into the Baltimore episode. If I do, hi, Wes.
Hey, what's up, Julian? Woo!
Yes. He said, X-Men 97 is amazing. Watch the first 3 episodes and everything is awesome. The animation is gorgeous, the characters are likable, and the writing is amazing. I really, really recommend it to anyone interested in superheroes, but I heavily recommend watching the original show first. This is a direct continuation. It picks up a lot of the plot threads of the original show, and while a bit cheesy, I do believe the old show holds up. Have you watched any of the 97 yet?
I haven't watched any of the new stuff now. I need to do it.
I have not watched it yet.
It is so good. It is so good, like, you're not even going to believe how good it is.
Okay, cool.
So just like Julian suggested, and I think he suggested on the Discord, I want to rewatch the series before I get into it, and I just haven't had time to do it.
Yes, but also you can just watch it.
Yeah, maybe I should.
It's really good. It's really good. But I do, yes. Definitely check out his watch order. I'll link it again in the show notes. You know, I forgot to mention this. Remember he shared his watch order for X-Men the Animated Series?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna link it in the show notes. Well, then I didn't link it in the show notes.
Fail.
But then the following week I realized that I didn't, so I went back and put the link in there.
Okay.
So I'm gonna link it again here. So check it out. And then if it's not here, check back in like three more days and it'll be there. Anyway.
If it's not here, send John a message and he'll be like, ah, shit.
Yes, and I'll put it back in there. He also said, I haven't watched either X-Men Evolution or Wolverine and the X-Men yet, but I plan on doing so, probably once I finish the 90s Spidey show. I also prefer Wolverine's brown and orange suit, but yellow, blue, and black is still great, as long as it isn't boring black leather.
Yeah, I can agree with that one.
Yeah, I like the brown and orange, too.
Yeah, I like the brown and orange. I like the blue and yellow. I like the X-Force one. He was, like, black and gray.
Oh, black X-Force. And... Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What was he in Evolution?
Brown. Yeah.
Was he in the brown one?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And then Wolverine in the X-Men was the yellow and blues again.
I believe so, right? Yeah.
Julian said, thanks for mentioning the Discord server again, but I want to clarify I do not run it. Well, I guess I help run it since I became a mod recently, but Mark and Chewbones deserve more credit as they have moderated for longer. I'm not sure who originally created it. That being said, I do run the book club there, which kind of is its own section. Sorry if it sounds pedantic. I just want to give credit where credit's due. Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
definitely check it out. I will link that as well. It would be nice to hear you talk about Saga. Personally, I'm waiting for them to finish the series to reread the first half and binge the rest. To scratch that Brian K. Vaughan itch, you could just maybe cover some of his other work like Paper Girls or some of his Marvel stuff like The Hood or The Mystique Run. That's a great idea. Do you want to do The Hood? Have you ever read that?
No, I haven't.
Yes, we should do that.
Okay.
Yes, I forgot when Saga is going to end, but that's a good idea. Maybe wait for it to end. And then talk about it in sections and stuff like that. That'll be really good. But in terms of your reread, are you reading Saga, Wes?
I've sort of stopped reading Saga a little bit. I need to pick it back up again.
Okay.
I stopped purchasing it. I switched to trades. I need to catch up on Saga. But I love Saga. I was even thinking about going to the library editions because they started the library editions. But
Yes. Those are really nice.
Yeah, for Saga, like I have the first three hardback trades that collects the first 50 whatever issues. But yeah, I'm waiting so I can get the next three to collect the last of it.
So they did the first 50 issues and then they took like a year off and then they came back. And when they came back, I did a complete reread of 1 through 50. So anyway, so I've kind of just done a reread, but I would definitely do another one.
Well, during the winter freeze when we had no power, I started reading that and Kathy's like, what are you reading? I'm like, I'm reading Saga, it's so good. She's like, well, let me check it out. So I handed her the first volume and then there it is. I'm reading volume 2, she's on volume 1, I'm getting on volume 3, she's on volume 2.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, it's very addictive and it's easy. It's a quick read too. Like some of it is
so good.
The art is carrying you through that. So that's a great recommendation, Julian. Maybe we'll wait for it to end before we talk about it. Julian said, thanks Ross for the amazing interview. The part where he sees the Echo cosplay was so wholesome.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That was, and like, man, I wish someone would have said like, hey, this is the dude. Like, hey, this is the guy that created that character. You know what I mean? Like, do you know that? I don't know.
But it is funny that like the artists and the writers are sometimes unsung heroes. And I remember going to cons when I was in like high school or in college and not, like I just be like the heroes in the books were what I was there for, cosplay. Like I would go to Artist Alley and like, you know some of the artists, but like writers, unless I like, I didn't, there's probably so many people I didn't know, you know?
Right.
It is a tragedy. Like Ross said,
it is.
It's
it
also
is,
like, that's the job. That's kind of, you know?
Right. Right. He said, I really liked Parts of a Whole. That's another Daredevil, David Mack story. I think that's the one that introduces Echo. He says, I feel like it's underrated since it's sandwiched between the massively popular Kevin Smith and Bendis runs. But as Echo gains popularity, it's getting more respect. The Quesada art on it looks really good, and to be honest, the story is much better than Kevin Smith's Guardian Angel run. That story is overall pretty good, but Matt acts a bit too out of character when he throws a baby off the roof. Don't worry, Natasha catches it. And they also kind of fridged Karen, but I guess it's not like her character was being treated great before, so it might have been for the best. The show's version is so much better written. I agree.
Totally agree there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're talking about Daredevil being a hero that's made up of contradictions. Another contradiction in his character is that he's a blind man that can see more than anyone else using his powers. There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Not going to lie, I kind of used to skip over the credits on comics. I didn't really notice or care who was writing, coloring, or even, unless it was really distinctive, who was doing the art. But what made me actually pay attention to all that is your Hellboy podcast. John, point out the creators each episode, make me appreciate and notice them much more. So thanks. Very good. Ah, I'm glad. Thank you. Anyway, remember there is no Avatar movie in Ba Sing Se, except the ones about blue aliens, I guess. Awesome. Thank you, Julian.
We also heard from Hayden Orr.
Hayden Orr.
Book club member.
Yes.
Great episode, you daring devil guys. Hearing Aubrey explain the plot to the peanut butter solution sounds like me trying to convince new friends to watch something like The Greasy Strangler.
Yes.
The Greasy Strangler, yeah.
Met with nothing but confusion. I'm actually a bit lacking in my Daredevil readership. I've read most of the Frank Miller era, but beyond that, I haven't really sat down with old Hornhead when he had other creators running his horribly violent and sad Catholic life.
It's true.
But these issues were great. I love seeing goofy C-list characters or low-level characters get a dose of reality injected into them.
Yes. Frogman.
Leapfrog turns out to be a horrible guy, but thank God we'll always have Brick Frog.
Yes, Brick Frog. That's a Venture Brothers reference. Do you know Brick Frog?
I don't know the Venture
Brothers. Okay, so I'll just make this really quick, and I'll put a little clip of it. If you haven't watched the Venture Brothers, there's a scene where all these people are trying out to be henchmen, and there's this guy called Brick Frog, and he's in a frog suit, and he throws a brick. And while he throws the brick, he goes, Brick Frog! And he's just in this one scene where they're trying to... I think he comes back later, but there you go.
Anyways, Baltimore. This arc has some of my favorite stuff about the series as a whole. The blending of historical fiction with the world's unique mythology and lore, and getting a look at the wider world as a whole and how they're handling the absolutely fucked state of the world.
Yes.
That's a trope I love to see in fiction, where monsters exist in your world, and because humans are going to steal human, war happens, and the monsters are there. They are at the war doing stuff. Monsters being involved in the world politics happening. Great stuff.
It's true. Wow.
There's a book series called the Bitter Sea Trilogy by Ian Tregellis. We'll say that. That has an alternate history, World War II, being fought by British spy warlocks making deals with Eldritch jellyfish dudes from outside reality to stop the Nazis who have developed psychic super soldiers. It's very much got the same flavor going on.
Nice. That sounds awesome.
Thanks, Hayden.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. We also heard from Jerry Turnbull.
Jerry Turnbull.
Book club member.
Yes. So, remember we're talking about the flag, Wes, when they're on the ship?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about what the flag meant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Union Jack. It was like all red or something like that, but with the Union Jack in the corner.
The Union flag on a red background denotes it's part of a merchant navy, not military, civilian, and more commercial.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
So there you go.
Nice.
Very good. Thank you, Jerry. We also heard from Ben Stenbeck.
No way.
Yes,
Book Club member.
Yes. And artist.
Artist extraordinaire.
Yeah.
I think we credited one of the covers to Stenbeck in the episode.
Oh, I think I saw the comment you're about to read.
I think issue Maybe. Two. And he said, Berting definitely did that cover, not me. I would never do so stupid as a cover that looks like the Red King is playing with his boat in the bath. Stupid.
Yeah, it's Berting. The first cover. It's the first cover. Yeah, that's such a good response. That's so funny. It is. It's the Red King, like in the it's issue number one of The Cult of the Red King. And he's like above the boat, like it looks like he's playing in a bathtub. It's so funny.
I went back and looked at that cover, and I was just like, oh my God, it totally looks like that.
I know, I'll never get that out of my head. But I imagine he's got to be friends with Berting, right? So it's a good friendly gig. I think it's just
some gentle ribbing. Yeah.
Totally. That's great.
Thank you. And also, thank you to David Mack.
Yes, thank you, David Mack.
Oh my God, he retweeted our episodes, he shared our episodes. And stuff like that on social media when they came out. So
that was really cool.
He even put the time codes of when he was on the episode and stuff like that. So nice. Awesome. Thanks so much. And now we can go on to our next segment.
What do you see? What do you say?
Yes. All right. What are you seeing and what are you saying, Aubrey?
This week, well, as you know, I had some personal stuff going on this week. So I haven't been watching anything. But we have finished the first three seasons of The Legend of Korra.
Mm.
We are burning through that super fast. I've actually really enjoyed it. And I like how each season is its own story, yeah, as opposed to like Avatar, where all three seasons is one story.
Right, right.
You know, you got season one is her, you know, dealing with the airbending and, you know, the equalist. And then season two, it's her uncle is a dick.
Right.
Season three, she goes to fight Henry Rollins.
Yeah. Have you watched Korra also, Wes?
Yeah, I watched Korra. Yeah. Yeah, I watched Korra. It was good. Korra was good.
I normally don't like the competition scenes, but like they were so engaging. Like I just remember like being on my seat for a lot of those, like where they're doing the competitions and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just working with the team and all that. Man, it's so good. Like such a fun series.
Yeah, and yeah. I like the idea that like, you know, as they get into like a, I guess,
like Industrial Revolution.
I don't want to say. Yeah, it's almost like a, like the first season is almost like a 1930s gangster area, right, kind of, right, New, yeah, York kind of thing. But I like the whole idea of like, you know, they have bending tournaments, and then Bolin goes on to be a mover star,
right? Right.
With his Nuk Nuk series.
It's kind of cool how like all the nations mix up too. You know, it's like,
yeah,
they're not separate by, you know, the powers that they have or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, because,
right,
like, you know, they're brothers, but one's a firebender and the other's an earthbender.
Yeah,
you know?
That's cool.
So that's cool stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at nice, right now. Yeah. And still reading Calvin and Hobbes.
Ah,
Mako.
Very good.
Is it Mako?
Mako, oh, yes. You thank you. Yeah.
Good job, Wes. Yeah, I have a couple things. So we already kind of talked about X-Men 97. I definitely recommend that. I think it's awesome. I think you can just... Yes, you should definitely watch the first series. I think Danielle and I recently did a rewatch of that when it first debuted, when Disney Plus first got it. We kind of watched a lot of it. I don't know if we watched all of it, though. But it's amazing. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. I watched Mank. Have you seen Mank, David Fincher?
I have listened to the soundtrack, the score, repeatedly because it's by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. It's really good. We started it, but... then we went to bed and then we never finished it.
Right. It's kind of slow. It can be kind of a slow movie. It's David Fincher. It has Gary Oldman in it, and it's all like kind of in black and white, something, yeah, like that, or it's kind of like sepia tone.
And it's like the making of like Citizen Kane. Or,
yes.
Yeah.
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 I watched that and it was just something that I just put on to just have on. And then I ended up being really engaged in it and really enjoying it. So I thought that was a pretty cool movie. We've also been watching. So we finished the Mission Impossibles and we were like, what can we watch now? And we started watching the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, awesome.
And so right now we're like, we're on 6. We haven't finished 6.
Okay.
We did finish 5. So far 5 is the best one.
Okay.
Like that movie is so great. Are you a fan of those movies? The Fast and Furious movies?
I saw the first one and I was just like, I didn't care for it. And then I heard nothing but bad things about 2, and then 3 was like, and so, but then all of a sudden, like they just they keep making them, and everybody's like, oh my God, the Fast and Furious movies. And none of the, so I do plan to go back and watch them.
Okay.
I really do want to go back and watch them.
Well,
but
we're
just,
done. I'm going to lend you all of them.
Okay.
So
that sounds good.
There you go.
But yeah, no, because it's weird to think that the first movie started off where they're like stealing like DVD players, and then they end up going into space,
right,
and like
or whatever.
One of them.
Yeah. So crazy. Yeah. Anyway, we'll probably come back and talk about that. We're not all the way through the franchise yet, so we'll
but
come
it's,
back.
But it's all about family.
It's all about family
and Corona. Coronas.
Yeah, those movies are fun. I recommend them. I was watching something recently where Christopher Nolan was saying he's a fan of those movies.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was interesting that he's like checks those out. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about Black Swan with Natalie Portman. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made me go on a binge of Natalie Portman movies. So I watched V for Vendetta.
Love that movie.
God, that movie's so good.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that movie
in
a while. I was like, holy shit, that movie's good. And then I watched Annihilation.
I still haven't seen that one yet.
Oh my God. That movie is amazing too. Like I forgot how good that movie was. I also watched No Strings Attached. You ever see that movie?
Mm-mm. Wait, is that the one where she and is it like Ashton Kutcher?
It is Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher is that movie, which is almost like a deal breaker for that movie, but
He's all right.
It was actually pretty fun. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. It's like the romantic comedy that she's in. Those were all great. That's kind of what I've been watching. What about you, Wes? What are you seeing and what are you saying?
I mean, like movies that I've seen. I saw Poor Things.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it. I really liked it a lot.
Nice. Okay. I need to check that out. Obviously, like, it's an amazing movie. Yeah.
Man, I was like, I saw that movie. It was like streaming. It was like, Kathy, we got to watch that movie. And I come home and she's like finishing it up. And I'm like, we were supposed to watch it. She goes, oh, you can watch it. And I didn't care for it. And I was just like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, and I saw that. I watched the new Roadhouse because I was on a flight and it was on.
Oh, my God. So how bad was it?
It was, I immediately watched the old Roadhouse after. Because I was like, need to erase it. It was one of those bad movies that you can enjoy because it's that bad.
Okay. You know?
Wait, the new one?
Yeah, the new one.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Oh, man.
It's pretty well. There's one thing, and I won't say it, that like I got hung up on like in the beginning of the movie, and I couldn't let it go the entire movie. I just kept asking myself, why? 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 And I just couldn't get over it. Why? Why?
The original Roadhouse is not like great cinema, but it is such a great movie in its fun, dumb way. You know, how he fights that one guy that's wearing all denim. He rips his throat out or something.
Yeah, it's wacky.
Yeah, the whole thing was just the original Roadhouse is just so great.
Hey, he's like so zen. He just does the job because the job was needed to be done, and
lives
in life and cult of other bouncers, and they all know of each other because they're bouncing guild,
right? I mean, this is like I want the best. Well, so what's his name? Sam Elliott's the best. He goes, I don't want Sam Elliott, I want you.
Yeah, exactly. But reading wise, I reread Miss Truesdell.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I just like I picked up, this was a Mark Tweedo, Helen of Windhorn was really good. Only issue one is out. That was really
nice.
Good.
Okay.
And then Man's Best, also issue one, just came out. That's Jesse Lonergan's series. And that's
good. Oh, dang. Good. That just came out. I need to get that. I need to put that on my list. Jesse Lonergan. Yeah. What is it called again?
It's called Man's Best, like Man's Best Friend. It's about, okay. I mean, I guess without ruining anything, it's about dogs that sort of, it's kind of like Homeward Bound. Dogs go to outer space and. Yeah, I don't know.
Nice.
That's, I think that's enough to explain. And it's Jesse Lonergan's art, which is great.
I'm intrigued.
It was so funny because Aubrey did the thing that dogs do where they tilt their head because they get curious about something.
You'll get that in here. You'll get that in there.
Nice.
It's fun.
Nice.
It's fun. I'm excited for issue two. And then Mortal Terror, I've been catching up on the Christopher Golden series.
That's another one that's also Peter Berg thing. God, I need to look at that. Yeah, that's another one that I keep meaning to pick up, and I just haven't. Thanks for mentioning that. Good recommendations, Wes. All right, and now we're going to go on to our book club episode for the week, and this week we're going back to Baltimore. Wes, you're going to take us through this story, The Cult of the Red King. It made me so mad. I'm not going to spoil it, but oh my God.
I know, this one's devastating. It gets almost, pretty heart-wrenching.
I almost threw a tantrum in my house and broke everything I own.
Oh no!
Damn,
I remember this one being devastating. I mean,
yeah.
Like, oh man,
no, I didn't almost do that, but you know, you get it.
Issue 3 came out July 1st, 2015. Artist Peter Berting. This cover is, I believe, Ben Stenbeck, but correct me if I'm wrong, Ben. I don't know. It's a cool cover. Last time we left off, we had Team Ice Cross in Carthage. And looking for the Temple of the Red King. While there, they found what seemed like a shell of a man, like mummified, but still alive. Remember, they like touched him and he like came back to life.
Oh, right. And then, yes, that's what happened right at the end. And it was like,
Yeah, exactly. It was like a jump scare. And there are like black ring wraiths overrunning the town at night, similar to the raves that we saw in Chapel of Bones, with the same weakness to fires and light, stuff like that. You know, it's like the eyes are a big thing and everything. And I feel like that's always a Mignola thing, and I know Mark always mentions it. I don't know what color the Wraith's eyes are. Actually, I want to look at that as we get through here.
Oh, okay.
I just thought of that.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye for that.
In a different part of the world, Team Baltimore is in St. Petersburg, Russia, following up with a priest who reached out for help, said that there was a cult getting stronger that was worshiping the Red King. In their travels to St. Petersburg, close friend of Baltimore, Childress, goes under a spell of a witch named Zoya that was on the boat with everyone.
They had some amazing pillow fights together.
Yeah, they did some pillow fights. They did the laundry. Zoya and Childress go together, and then Baltimore follows them. While that's going on, we see a blood red woman sort of spying on Baltimore.
Yes.
And then, yeah, and the rest of the crew went off to find this priest, go to his residence to learn more about what the priest found. They find that the priest has been transformed into some kind of vampire creature, and that's it. And then boom.
And there you go. Now we're caught up. Boom.
So we start off issue 3 at the port of Carthage with Mr. Marchand. He's talking with a crewmate. The man tells Marchand that there's no use sitting out here and watching because they'd be no of help. They're too far away. Marchand assures him that there will be trouble.
And he proves right to be out there. He's actually right to be out there. We're going to see later.
Right. His mate goes, "You really believe all that? The vampires are part of the plague? This Red King that Captain Icecross talks about?" Marchand kind of like looks at him seriously and blows smoke out of his nose. "If you don't believe the stories, I'd call you a lucky man. It means you don't have one of your own, right?" And then we get a story of Marchand, like his background story.
When it cut to this, I was like, oh, yeah, because it makes sense.
Yeah.
When you read the Baltimore book, the thing that connects all of them when they tell their stories is that they've all had their own experiences with these otherworldly things, right?
Yep.
So that's why they all believe Baltimore, because they're all like, why did you come? So then they all tell their stories. And so now we get Marchand's story, which I love that. I thought it was really cool. Nice little addition. Bring him into the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he was in the war. He's traveling back and he comes upon like a horse is running at him, right? And then some guys are in the trees and they're like, "Come over here, run, fool, run away." And he's like, "What? What is it?" And then he walks up on a vampire, right? Eating a horse.
Oh my God. One of those kites.
Yeah, one of the kites.
I love this whole thing, this whole scene, because I think just the idea that a horse is just running, you know what I mean? Like, you're in this aftermath of war, and here's just like, I don't know. I just think that's like a weird thing.
Yeah, an unmanned horse running away.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like fog, and it's like, you know, it's clear that he can't see too far ahead.
Yeah, this kite is awesome. I love that. That close-up of it is amazing. Yeah.
It's a good thing Marchand did not scar his eye or anything like that. Hopefully it just killed him.
Right?
He says, "When evil comes for you, when it opens its jaws and you see its teeth, then you will believe," he tells him. And the guy's like shocked.
Yeah, I think that smoking is not good and you shouldn't do it. And I'm glad that Aubrey quit smoking. How long have you not been smoking now?
4 years, 11 months, and a few days.
Wow. Okay. So hey. Almost 5 years.
Almost 5 years.
You might as well just say 5 years.
Well, I'll say 5 years on May 1st.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Very good.
May 1st.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's nice. Awesome. But damn it, it looks cool in the comic book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they do it a lot in the Baltimore.
Yes, but Marchand is so cool. That shot of him blowing it out of his nose when he's talking is like, it's cool. Anyway.
Yep, Marchand's cool. So we switch back to St. Petersburg, where Rico is fighting the vampire. Last we left off, he was fighting the vampire.
He's getting his face slashed up.
See, and then he's got the red eyes, right? And so did the vampire from Marchand's story. They both have red eyes. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Whatever power is giving them force, I guess, is in them. Or are they possessed by something?
The Red King.
Where the red comes from. You know, yeah, is it the Red King? Rico instructs Harris and Sophia to go back down. Find a needle and thread to stitch my face and something to bind him. We need answers, not a corpse. He doesn't want to kill him. He wants to interrogate him.
I love when Rigo finally hits him. Like that, those shots where he finally gets his licks in is like, it's pretty satisfying. Like he's like, I'm going to beat up this old man.
Wood, thwack. Harris searches through Father Stanislaus's belongings to see if he can find any notes or something that would help them find out what he discovered about the cult of witches. He's not successful, but he does find two of Simon Hodge's books that he published.
Yes.
We come to find out that's probably how we learned of Lord Baltimore.
Right. So when we first meet Hodge, isn't he writing these books?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, right? Because he talks about it. So like that much time has passed where he's been able to publish them and where people have been like, look at this weird thing.
I know they're great. Like the cover art is awesome.
Man, I want to like... I want to recreate this, you know what I mean? Like, I wish they sold this. Like, I want a prop of this, even if the inside is just whatever, right? I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, totally. Is that a lily on the front? Just trying to figure out what that image is on the vampires, their identification and destruction. like what that is in the box?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think that is, Aubrey?
I mean, it could be a lily. I mean, but
it looks like some kind of flower. I was almost thinking like a flower, is that garlic or something, or
yeah, it could be garlic or something. That's a good idea.
Because it's saying vampires, right? It's about vampires. Yeah. So anyway.
The ancient evil one looks like Cthulhu, I thought.
Yes. Good stuff.
Rigo doesn't want to give up on finding information. He says, let's see if the witch has left enough of his mind to give us something we can use. He's used to doing exorcisms.
I love the shot of the glasses with all the different eyes. It makes it really creepy.
It really does.
Good stuff.
Yeah, super creepy. So we go back to Carthage. Mr. Kid and Icecross are searching for the temple with Hodge's notes, right? Hodge got finger things in his head and messed him up a little bit. So he's bedridden right now.
Oh, right. Okay. From the race. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The race like put their fingers on his head. So I don't know what that does, but it does something. I mean, I guess we see a little bit of what it does. They find some weird graveyard with bodies similar to the one they found last night. Mr. Kid suggests that it might be rays that do this to the people. They like suck their life out of them and turn them into these husks.
Right. Right.
The two of them travel to the original site of the city of Carthage. I wrote down a little bit what the original city of Carthage was. An ancient city in the eastern side of Lake Tunis. Carthage was one of the most important trading hubs for the ancient Mediterranean and one of the most affluent cities of the classical world.
Ah, okay.
Icecross and Mr. Kid find that someone has been there recently and there's like an altar set up with the mark of the Red King. Icecross explains the Red King's temple was subterranean. So this isn't exactly where the temple would have been. It would have been underground. Mr. Kid does what he does and busts a hole in the wall.
Yeah, there you go. That gentleman, like, but I do want to go back when that page where they discover the altar, like that's the only like red on the page. Is it really stands out, you know?
Yeah.
And then that stained altar. That was kind of like, man, that's, you know, what happened there? Obviously, they're chopping people up or something.
Yeah, they're definitely doing some sort of blood sacrifice, for sure.
Or maybe they're making those Kool-Aid pickles on there. Oh, yeah. About that. Maybe that's what it is.
Kool-Aid pickles. Totally is what it is.
Maybe they love those.
Yep. Pickle farm.
I'm going to go to the Galleria, and I'm going to buy one. I'm going to post. I'm going to be like, look, just like Baltimore. I got one, just like on the Baltimore comic, where they had the Kool-Aid pickles. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep. So they bust a hole in the wall, crash. Mr. Kid comes in. It's funny that, like, I don't know, you would think, you know, somebody would have done some digging. Like, they bust through the first wall, and they're like, boom, right there, there's the temple. But
that's what it is. I didn't even think about that. I did not even think about that. I just totally accepted it. But you're absolutely right. That's funny.
Well, I was just thinking it's probably because those guys are dumbasses.
Yeah, that's probably right. And I'm sure they probably weren't allowed to do anything. I'm sure it was like marked off, like nobody's allowed to go here. There could have been like ancient groups of people that knew that there was bad stuff there that protected it. Like that group in Indiana Jones and the temple. Was it? No, it was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, right? There's like those group of fez wearing guys that stopped Indy from doing anymore.
Hey, Wes, did you talk about this footnote? I was going to ask you about that, where it says the original cult hasn't worshipped here in thousands of years. Its priests, all are dead. And then it says the original vampires see Baltimore, the Infernal Train.
The Infernal Train was that was with where all those guys, like all the vampires were on the train, right? And then that lady with the glasses would like feed bodies to the.
Yes.
And then they blow up that train?
Yeah, they blew up that train. Baltimore did.
Oh, so its priests are all dead. So that's why the priests are dead, because they were on that train, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
There you go.
Icecross says they're sure to find this chamber now. Let's not waste time. Can't make heads or tails of this cuneiform. Something like that. Searching for anything we might bring back to Hodge and Dr. Rose. I'll copy as much of it as I can. So cuneiform is donating or relating to wedge-shaped characters used in ancient writing systems of Mesopotamia, Persia, or, you know, places of that area.
Isn't that the Sumerians, they wrote in cuneiform?
I think so, yeah. Have you ever seen that stuff? It's just like all the little triangles and stuff. It looks really cool, I wish I could read that. Probably says like book club member or something like that.
Yep, sure does.
That's what it says. Yep. I love the look of this statue, though. I was glad that it didn't look very, like, modern, you know what I mean? It does look very ancient.
Yep. Yeah, and they have an altar right in front of it, and super red. We click back to St. Petersburg. Baltimore is eavesdropping on the witch meeting, on a witch meeting that's going on inside this big mansion. The witch coven says his influence grows and he will be grateful for us when he rises to greet us. She estimates they will need 100 more voices, but we'll try the ritual again. One of the witches is upset by this, but is reassured by the other witch telling her their powers grow with every whisper of his name. And as his power grows, so do theirs. And when he wakes and then, hush, sisters, we are observed and he means us harm.
Her eyes are all blacked out, too. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if they have different, like, if the witches of the covens have different powers or something like that, you know. The women all shuffle into a room. And in that room, we see more of those dolls.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The women do some magic and wake the dolls and tell them to join us and do his bidding.
We see all the townspeople, like, I guess those dolls are related to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so all the dolls, like, eyes light up yellow, and then all the townspeople's eyes light up yellow.
All those dudes banged witches.
Oh, shit, they certainly did.
Or no, they had pillow fights with them.
Yeah, they had pillow fights.
All those dudes had pillow fights with all the witches. There you go.
Maybe it was a definitely pillow fight. Magic.
Yeah, big giant pillow fight. So I like at this bar, there's this painting. I didn't look that up, and now I wish I'm like, man, I wish I had looked that
up.
Like these two guys playing chess, the guy in the red.
No. That painting has been in the other issues. We've never figured out what it is. Yes, I think we've seen that painting before. Wow, I can't believe you pointed that out.
Honestly, I will have to admit, I thought that was just bar patrons.
No, I think that we've seen that before.
Oh, no, we probably have. It's just...
Yeah.
When I was looking at it, I was just like, oh, bar patrons.
Wow, Wes, I didn't even notice that. Thanks for pointing that out.
I don't know. I feel like it's got to be something, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully, book club members, help us out. If you know, let us know. Yes,
help us out.
Yeah, the yellow eyes are, they're the same as the Witch of Harju when Sophia's husband gets turned. His eyes were yellow, too.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I wonder if it's like if you're a witch of the Red King, when you have control over somebody, maybe your eyes turn yellow or their eyes turn yellow. So then we jump back to Rigo with his inquisition of Father Stanislas, who explains that she is here inside me. So, but I wonder if he's talking about the Red Witch or if he's talking about one of the other witches. I guess it doesn't really matter. Rigo asks where they can find her, whoever she is. He basically is going through an inquisition with the father and, you know, punches him and is like, you know, letting him know, like, I've done this before, dude. I'm an inquisitor. I'm going to get what I want out of you.
Sure. Yeah. We forget about that. We forget that about him. But yeah, he's probably done some heinous stuff.
Mm-hmm. Back in Carthage, the sun is coming up. We see Hodge is in bed rest, but it looks like he's doing better than the last time we saw him, which was totally passed out. Dr. Rose is there with him. Hodge explains to Rose that if they are to defeat the Red King, it will not be done by a creature like Baltimore. It will be done by a man like him, an academic.
Yes, I loved that. I was like, yes, Hodge to the rescue. Here's the real hero of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the old city of Carthage, we see Ice Cross is there jotting down all the notes, all these triangles, jot them all down.
Right. You can kind of see some of the cuneiform there. That's cool.
Yeah.
Mr. Kidd says they should get out of there before the wraiths come back. And Ice Cross agrees that they don't want to get caught in the city when the sun goes down. On their way out, Mr. Kidd stops the two of them as some of the Red King cultists return to their altar.
The Red King gang.
Yeah, the Red King gang. Okay, yeah, we'll call them the Red King gang.
Yeah, that's what I called them.
Red King gang. With their sweet death masks. They see that their lanterns are stolen. They're like, hey, somebody stole our digs, man. Somebody's been here. What the heck?
Who's been sleeping in my bed?
Yeah. And then they find the hole busted in the wall. So I guess they're like not right there. They're not like immediately right there. So maybe they had to go and travel through a little bit. The cultists are excited to find what Ice Cross and Mr. Kidd discovered, the first temple. Yeah, it's cool. We get a little more close-up of that Red King statue.
But now they're stuck in there. They can't get out.
Yeah, they're sort of like back in the shadows, sort of hanging, listening. Then we go back in the hotel of St. Petersburg. We get we haven't seen Sophie and Harris in a while. Sophie is concerned that Baltimore will face Zoya, Childress, and the witches alone. Harris explains the reasons Baltimore has his bros around is because they help him remember his horrors. And the second reason is Baltimore's focus is on the Red King and the other monsters in the path are distractions. We saw that multiple times, right? When he was going after.
Yeah.
We're here to deal with the distractions. He'll be fine on his own. So I think he's right. But
right. Baltimore has faced worse than a coven of witches, he says.
And he made a nice cup of tea.
Oh, he sure did. I wonder what kind of tea they're drinking.
I don't know. What type of tea would Harris make? I don't know.
I don't know, but it's like it's cold outside. You know what I mean? So that would be really good.
Yeah.
Have some hot tea. I'm drinking some Egyptian licorice right now. Do you think he would like that?
Probably. Definitely, actually.
I am drinking white Gatorade.
White Gatorade. That's a great tea as well, Aubrey.
That's one of the good ones. I like orange. I'm partial to orange Gatorade, though.
Oh, me too. That's the one that I love. I love orange Gatorade.
They were sold out, so I went with number two choice.
So we go to the Hall of Dolls. I don't know what else to call it. We go to the Hall of Dolls. Zoe is there.
And the Doll Hall.
Yeah, the Doll Hall. Oh, that's hard to say. That's a tongue twister.
It really is.
Zoe says, she is here. The Red Witch appears and says, there is an intruder in our house, darlings. A formidable man. Killing him will be no simple task. It was wise for you to put out the call, and now your call is answered.
I thought that was a pretty cool design.
Yeah.
We saw her from the back last time, and we were like, what is her deal? But she's like all red, like her skin is red and everything. Are we supposed to know who this is?
I mean, you could like maybe have an idea of who it is. I'm not going to say who it is until you guys know who it is.
What's her name from the first trade from the plague ships?
Or are you saying from the curse bells?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yes, I do remember
that. And he's like, curses the bells, and he's got the vampire nuns there, and the vampire nuns all turn on him. But he's trying to raise the Red King or talk to the Red King, but he does a bad job. Like, he impregnates some town chick with a child, and then they cut the child out, and it's like this little dwarf red woman. And she, like, runs off. She, like,
traps Baltimore. Oh, I remember that.
The bells are cursed, and all the town people go crazy, and the little red woman runs off.
So is that same lady? That same little short lady is now this lady?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ruining anything, but it is. It's Helena Blavatsky.
Blavatsky. Interesting.
Yeah, Madame Blavatsky, the Russian philosopher, who's a real person. You know, she's based off a real person.
Ah, okay.
Very cool.
She's also got yellow eyes. I don't know. Or she's got red and yellow eyes.
Yeah, there's another thing there.
So I don't know when you make that. I don't think I made that connection during now, but I couldn't tell. Like, I didn't know. So I was like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if the guy's I don't know if it spoils anything, though. You know?
Well, the damage has been done. I'm just kidding.
Baltimore walks in on Zoya and Childress about to start a pillow fight. And then he's attacked by Thomas Childress, as well as other men from the town. Yeah, they sort of like gang up on him, right?
They just start stabbing him. I was like, holy crap. They just like immediately go in for it, which is also like, that's what would happen. Like, so many times they don't do anything when they catch the good guy. They don't do anything immediately. Like, yeah, you would immediately just start stabbing this guy. Yeah.
Yep.
They went all Julius Caesar on his ass.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know how many times they stabbed him in the stomach, but it looks like a few times maybe.
Oh my gosh.
And they like grab him, and he gets off a shot. He kills some dude. And then one of the guys takes him and throws him right out the window. And Childress helps too. And then we get that line again. He'll be fine on his own. Baltimore has faced worse than a coven of witches.
Pushed out of the window by your bro.
Yeah, pushed out of the window by your longest bro. The one that you've known the longest.
Would you still come do the podcast, Aubrey, if I pushed you out a window?
Probably not.
Okay. Note to self.
Yeah, what are the circumstances here?
Well, I might take a couple of weeks off.
You're like, it depends on what you're reading.
Yeah.
You're like, we'll be reading Spider-Man. Oh, damn it. You know I'll be there. But this is this podcast. I'm not quitting the Hellboy Book Club podcast at all.
Oh, no. That would really hurt.
So we wrap up issue 3 and we go on to issue 4. This came out on August 5th, 2015. Same team. I believe another Stenbeck cover. That's at least what I have from the Dark Horse website.
Yeah, I looked it up on the Dark Horse website too, and that's what it says, Stenbeck, on both of these.
Yep, that's a sweet one. This is kind of cool. It sort of reminds me of like A Christmas Carol or something like that. But Baltimore is woken by a spirit of a woman. She calls Baltimore a wanderer, but not like her. He still has flesh and can still fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I don't know. I feel like Mignola does this, and we get this a lot in the Hellboy universe, that there's like different planes of existence, like your energy of what you are can sort of materialize differently, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So is that telling us that when he does, quote unquote, finally die, he's just going to be something like this and he's still not going to be able to?
I don't know. Who knows? Or maybe there's different levels, or there's different, right, like, you right. know, or the or energy maybe it does depends. This and has to finish this thing, and then it goes on to this next stage, and then it goes on to this next stage. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he
I
can still like finish it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I feel like it's obscure with Mignola. The death is always like for you to figure out on your own. You got to figure it out.
Right.
More witches, Baltimore says. He's like, oh my God, more witches. What? I'm no witch, sir. Just a woman, slightly more dead than you are. I like that one. I like that one.
That's great.
Wait, slightly more dead.
Yeah, just slightly more dead, which means that he's dead, I guess. And then we go back to the red witches talking to the coven. She tells the coven to go get Baltimore's body, that there are whispers that he cannot die. Let's discover the truth for ourselves, she says. She says, if you kill the witches without first destroying the dolls, I fear the men will die as well. Dolls, he says, inside. They craft the dolls with bits of themselves and the men they want to control. And the dolls become the tether between them, the puppet string. My husband, Vadim, went to bed with one of them. It was not the first time he had been unfaithful, but this was different. He came back entranced. He looked around at the world and thought he must be dreaming. I made the mistake of trying to wake him from that trance. And then we get a shot with that sepia tone.
Right.
Yeah.
Past memory thing of like her being strangled, hung out the window. And this sort of reminds me of Sophia's experience too with her husband.
Oh, right. Yeah, that is similar.
Yeah.
But there is ghost stories, right, of women coming in, like the white woman, where people see the white woman who had a husband who was unfaithful and killed them, and then they like kill guys, right? Isn't that like a ghost story? Isn't that a common ghost story?
I don't know. No, yeah,
it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, that's right? Interesting,
like the Lady in White or something like that.
Yeah, I was also thinking of Hellboy, The Wild Hunt. They have that flashback of the battlefield and that woman in white, like she brings him back to life and she brings him the chalice and all that. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Anyway, made me think of that too.
He like goes, just how many witches are we talking about? And then she sort of disappears and he goes, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. And then a group of guys sort of come up on him and he says, Thomas, I'll return.
They're both saying I'll return.
Oh, they're both saying it. Yeah, they're just saying the same thing at the same time. Yeah.
They're both the agents sent by opposite sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So we get a little battle starts here. They do the orange in the background whenever there's action. Crack, the orange.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Fight the witch's control, he says to the men. I don't want to hurt you. But he has to fight the guys, right? Because they're attacking him and he's got a job.
He's like, oh, well, I tried. Whack, yeah, whack, exactly. slice. But they're doing a good job on him, too. I mean, if he wasn't immortal. If he wasn't unkillable, you know.
Yeah, I know. He throws one guy off the bridge and another one stabs him in the back. Shunk. I want to see him use his harpoon, you know? Let's use his harpoon already.
Oh, yeah.
Never gets a good use. He's got to use it.
They're going to save it for something good.
In the heat of battle and snow, it's snowing pretty heavily. Harris and Sophia come up to find him and almost meet the tip of his sword in doing so.
Yeah, he's just like in berserker mode and stuff, and he just almost chops them too.
Yeah, Sophia goes, Lord Baltimore, no. My friends, on another night, I would admonish you for defying my orders, but not this night.
Good stuff. That's like one time that we see him, like, I don't know, actually kind of show some emotion. Like, he's like, yeah, my bros are here.
Yeah, I would have been pissed off for you guys not listening, but I could use you right now. So let's go kick some ass. Back to the first temple of the Red King. It's getting dark outside. We see the rays.
That's what they were trying to avoid.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were trying to avoid. Eyes Cross and Mr. Kid are still hiding from the cultists as they're setting up for a ceremony and sacrifice. One of them says that the goat they brought would be an insult as an offering at the first temple. We must spill human blood, one of them says. They can't find the trespasser, so one of the occultists grabs one of the other ones, like grabs one of their own, removes his masks, and offers him up as a sacrifice. This is pretty gruesome.
They just start stabbing him, man. Yeah. They're just like, oh, that would suck. So quickly, they all turn on each other.
Yeah, so quickly, like, they need this. And the guy's like, stop, what are you doing? I'm one of you. And they just stab him over and over and over.
Yeah.
And we are grateful for your sacrifice. Then we get a cool silhouette shot of a hammer going through one of the cultists' head, which is pretty sweet. We know whose hammer that is, right? Mr. Kid does some smashing. Swiftly now, Icecross says, I'm quicker than I look. says Mr. Kid. So then they grab the masks and they grab, I don't know why they should just grab their cloaks too, but they grab the masks. Or I think just Ice Cross grabs a mask, right?
Puts right. On. There's one mask, and then we cut to, this kind of confused me when I first read it, but there's some other cultists that are like getting dressed that they're approaching, right?
No, I think they're getting undressed and putting the blood of the sacrificed man on them.
Oh, that's what they're doing. Okay.
Yeah, I think they killed the guy and they're like smearing the blood.
Sure, on themselves. There you go. Right.
And then they're getting dressed again after, I guess. So they put the blood, they take their clothes off, put the blood on, and then put their clothes back on.
Okay. I guess so, yeah.
And then one of them calls out again, is like, Fadi, did you find anything? Where are you going?
For?
What are, they're looking for them. They're looking for the intruders.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. You, without your mask, turn and show your face. And they're like, oh, bam, shoots him right
there.
Now.
You go. He did it.
Come, my friend. It's a race now. Indeed.
I love that.
Time to see if you were as quick as you promised. Yeah, I know.
That's a great moment.
Turn around right away. So it must be super dark in the temple, right? Because they can't even tell that those were two guys, not just one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they book it. They start to flee the temple and they make a run for the house or wherever Dr. Rose and Hodge are staying. But it is night and the rays are out. Ice Cross notices the rays are not attacking the cultists. There is something protecting them, like these bloody masks, says Ice Cross.
They figured it out.
In the cover for issue 3, these masks look pretty badass. You know, they're like super detailed in that cover, in the Stenbeck cover. So then we cut back to St. Petersburg. I like this cat that's walking through the alleyway. So this is where I think like the eyes matter, right? The color matters. We see Father Stanislaus with red eyes in the bottom panel, they go yellow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even notice that.
Because he might be like some higher, like he may be, because I feel like he was a vampire-ish, but he may also be possessed by the witches, like can also be controlled by the witches too.
Oh, okay.
I think when he gets the yellow eyes, now he's under control of
the witches. Yeah. Right, that makes sense. I did want to mention this one thing, because they say Bloody Nora. Bloody Nora. I'd nearly forgotten these bastards when he sees the race.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bloody Nora.
Nora, it's not a woman's name, but it's a form of the word horror. Hmm. The phrase started off as flaming horror, but then it turned into flaming Nora, and then it's all a Bloody Nora is another version of it. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
That is weird.
That's like how time mangles words and stuff like that. Anyway.
Rigo is sitting with the priest. There's a thud at the door, and the priest's eyes turn from red to yellow. You'd best get the door, boy, he says. It's Baltimore, Harris, and Sophia at the door. Out of the way, Baltimore says as he blazes for Father Stanislaus. Rigo goes, what's gotten into him? The same devils as always. But he has a plan, Rigo. For once, he needs our help. I don't think he likes it very much. Baltimore starts cutting the ropes off of Father Stanislaus. And Rigo goes, Baltimore, what are you doing? He's going to set him free. Wait, Sophia says. He's testing a theory. And he like starts beating up on the father.
Well, he waits for him to come at him first. It's like, well, let me give you a reason, right? You know what I mean? He waits for the father to charge at him. And then he just starts pummeling him.
Yeah, he punches him and slams him up against the wall. He says, I speak not to this withered scarecrow, but to the witches who hold his leash. You tried to kill me. Drove me off. I'm coming back right to your door. Send as many pawns as you wish. Before dawn, it will be your blood in the snow, he says.
Nice.
Pretty badass.
Good stuff.
So back in Carthage, we get some like mirroring action going on here. There's a thud at Dr. Rose and Hodge's door. Sort of similar. Dr. Rose says, coming, I'm coming. Just like Baltimore, Mr. Kid and Ice Cross come crashing through the door.
It kind of reminds me of what happened with Baltimore, because he almost took out Harris and Sophia when he was all in. So, like, the same thing happens here. Dr. Rose almost shoots. Well, he does shoot at.
Yeah, he shoots Mr. at Kid. Mr. Kid and sort of, like, misses him. What the hell are you doing? What's wrong with you? Do you not see the bloody great hammer? I love that. Hodge gets out of bed. He's walking down the stairs. He goes, gentlemen, you might want to close the door. And then we see a wraith coming through the door, right? Ice Cross puts on his mask and sort of walks the wraith out the door, and then they just pass. They just leave.
That's a cool moment. I love the detail that Berting gives the wraith right there in that one panel where they're like face to face. That is so creepy and cool.
It really is creepy.
I don't even know how Ice Cross can just do that and stand strong. And like these wraiths have blue eyes. What power are they getting it from? Blue is associated with Black Goddess. Yeah, it's a different world.
Right, no, yeah. It would be something different here.
Yeah, I wonder. So anyways, and then the rays go off. What in God's name just happened, Dr. Rose? They're death masks, Hodge says. The wraiths won't recognize the wearer as alive. Points to Mr. Hodge, Eyes Cross says. We figured it was something like that. Trouble is, the lunatics that we stole the masks from seem to want them back. And then we get a shot, a red, nice red scene with them walking, the Raves floating above.
The Red King gang, here they come.
Yeah, here comes the Red King gang.
I want my mask back. Yeah, give me my death mask back. That's what they're saying.
Yep.
Probably.
In French, however you'd say it in French.
Back in St. Petersburg, Baltimore is marching. He's like marching him down the street, marching the father down the street.
I love that.
Yeah. He's like holding him by the back of the neck and like shoving him forward.
He's using him like a guide or something, right? Or like something.
Yeah, I think
some homing beacon. Like or a lead. Like
yeah. Yeah.
Sophia and Harris are following closer behind. Baltimore is basically saying he received word from Father Stanislas. He's explaining why he's there. He received word from Father Stanislas that the Witch Coven pledged themselves to the Red King and their powers were growing. He came to Russia to stop them. And a group of possessed men walk up on them and say, "Will you really kill all of these men? All of these innocents just to reach us? Even your friend, will you kill him?" It's like a group. It's almost like two guys are saying the same message,
It's all the guys that the witches are controlling, right? They're all able to like talk as one voice because they're all being mind controlled.
Exactly. Baltimore says, "You speak with Childress's lips, but I know the voice of witchcraft. As for these men, I don't want to kill any of them if I can help it, but I doubt there are any innocents here." And then, bam, they battle.
That's a good way to justify it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come out, witches. Come out to play. Come and face me. I'm only one man. I mean, he's not. He's there with his buddies.
I know. He's there with all his bros.
He may be one man, but he's got like 50,000 weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he like interacts with the men as they're fighting. And then finally the witches actually do come out, right? We sort of see their silhouettes behind the men.
Oh, right. Yes. I think it's interesting, too. There's a little moment where Harris is kind of freaked out because they're killing all these innocent dudes now. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah, that's so, right.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, and they're like, mourn later. You know, they kind of have to do it or they're going to get killed, right?
Right.
Exactly. I do like this, where the witches say to Baltimore, "But we are fed by the dark dreams of our master. How can you hope to fight such power?" "I don't hope to fight. I simply fight." I like that. Back at the house, Rigo has like walked a different path, right, to get the house and sort of slips in.
Yeah, he sneaks in there. Good job, Rigo.
I know. Rigo's killing it. So he slips in one of these side windows in the room with all the dolls. Like he was able to find the room with all the dolls. And he's got a nice Molotov cocktail there, ready to go.
Ready to go.
Yep.
Yep. So I looked up the, just because I was like, what is the history of the Molotov cocktail? Did it come from Russia? But the Molotov cocktail was first used in the Spanish Civil War against Soviet supplied tanks and didn't get its name until the Soviet-Finnish War in 1939 when the Soviet Union invaded Finland.
Wait, so who used it though? Was it the Spanish used it on the Soviets and then they said, "Oh, this is cool. We're going to use it," or did they use it?
That's what it read as, like the Spanish
used
it.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
And also like then more people that were fighting the Soviet Union used like when they invaded Finland, so I'm sure the Finns probably used it too.
Wow.
Wow.
Interesting. So it should be called the Spanish cocktail or I don't know.
Anyway. Who knows? I don't know, I just thought it was fun.
That is interesting.
Boom, and then we're on to issue number 5, September 2nd. So these are coming out like almost every month at this point.
Yeah, yeah. September 2015. This is an awesome cover on here. I like this.
Yeah, me too.
It says cover artist Ben Stenbeck again.
Yeah,
that's what it says on Dark Horse. Yeah.
Yep.
So we pick up with Rigo in the chamber with the dolls, and he sets it aflame. I like how the border of all the panels is the rest of the scene, right? With
yeah.
all the fire and stuff like that. It's a cool
yeah, totally. It's like a big,
that.
Yeah, it's cool.
He says a prayer for the Heavenly Father to preserve them, but he gets grabbed in the neck by a red hand. I wonder, are such prayers ever answered? It says. We cut back to Team Baltimore. Baltimore urges Childress to fight on. He clunks him with the sword handle. Zoya shows how she has power over these people as puppets, but just then the power fades. Sophia yep. says, "Your puppets appear to have their strings cut." Childress calls out to Baltimore before he passes out. That's simultaneous with what's going on with Rigo, right?
Yeah.
That was cool.
And I like how she uses the strings have been cut, just like how the ghost said it to Baltimore.
Oh, right. The same terminology. Soon, the witches also start to spontaneously combust.
Yeah, this is horrible.
They're just like,
this
what
is...
have you done?
Yeah. Yeah, they're screaming.
They just start this melting. Is horrific. Back with Rigo, he's getting his shit kicked by the Red Witch.
Mm-hmm.
She also calls him ugly, which isn't very nice. You know what I mean? He had his face just scarred up twice in a row. Like, give the dude a break. Come on. But Rigo is able to make his escape, but not before warning the Red Witch that Baltimore is coming for her. And that he cannot die. And then he jumps out the window. I was like, why did you say that? You shouldn't give them any information about Baltimore. But anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe he was hoping that they wouldn't hear us through the window crashing open.
Okay.
But why would you say it?
Why would you say it? Back with Baltimore. I love this panel. This witch, as she's burning, she tries to get Baltimore to kill himself. Cut your throat. You want to do it. And he's like, witch, I feel that temptation every day.
Yeah, I know. She's got no power over him.
This one witch, she says, Belezin, right? And she, like, motions at Harish as she's burning. So she's saying disease. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, and he starts throwing up at the same time.
But Sophia comes to his aid and just chops this witch in the neck. That's pretty good. Yeah, they're really hacking him up here.
Yep. Yeah, they really are.
Baltimore and Sophia make quick work of the witches. Over in Carthage, the Red King gang, they look for Ice Cross and Kid. The two, along with Simon Hodge and Dr. Rose, come up with a plan to get to the ship. Now that they know about these masks, they're going to try and cover their heads and see if that works, right? Because they don't have enough masks for all of them to go. There's this one part where Simon Hodge says, give me a gun and go. Bringing me along will get you all killed. So I was like,
damn,
that's some foreshadowing right there. Hush, there are too many ghosts here already, Ice Cross says. Another foreboding line, right?
Right.
Yeah. Ah, this is hurting me. This is hurting my heart.
I know.
They're also spotted by the Red King gang, so they start fighting with them, along with the race.
Should be grabbing those masks. I feel like they could take these cultists. These are I think they could, but mofos.
Yeah, really, yeah.
But the fact that the race are there is like messing up all their shit, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, they could probably totally take these guys. One of the guys loses his mask, and so we see the race get him.
Yeah. Ah. One of the guys wants to help him. We have to help.
Right, but they're like, no. There's no helping them. Keep moving. It's the master who should concern you.
Yep.
With Marchand and crew, they hear the gunshots from the battle, and they put the boat in the water. That's the reason why Marchand wanted to be out there. You know what I mean? They hear the gunshots, and they can start doing something.
Yep.
Good job. Back with the group. Dr. Rose and Hodge start opening their hoods because they can't see.
Yeah, they got nobody guiding them at the moment.
Right. Because Kid and Ice Cross are fighting with the race and the Red King gang. They don't see the race noticing them, so they're like coming up on them, you know, and I was just like, ah, no.
Yeah, and Ice Cross is able to get a mask for Dr. Rose, right?
Yes, yeah.
And they're like, Simon has no mask. Ah.
Ice Cross says, I'll see to it. He hands over all of Hodge's notes as well as the writings he copied down from the Red King Temple. He also gives his mask. We don't have a spare, he says. And as soon as he takes off the mask, the race just immediately start getting him. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, you see the fingers in the head and the shoulder. Yeah, it's bad news.
Yep.
Back with Team Baltimore, we see Rigo has survived his encounter with the Red Witch. Baltimore confronts Zoya as she burns. Somehow you've done this, she screams. Baltimore tells her about the ghost that he saw. I like that he says that. A dead woman told me that I could do this, and I did it. Did no one ever warn you about the price you pay for walking the left-hand path, he asks. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting, because the left-hand path, that's also, that has parallels to the Hellboy universe for sure.
Yeah, and there's a left-hand path and the right-hand path.
Mm-hmm.
As the witches burn, Harish calls out to Baltimore. Death is a mercy for them now, Harish.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a mercy, Harish says.
He slashes the throat of one of the burning witches. So he's like, he was also upset about killing those innocents, too. So, like, he's got a... He doesn't take killing lightly, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Harish is a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Harish. Plus, he's got a great mustache.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, yeah. Don't get too close to that flame there. You're going to burn your facial hair. Childress confronts Zoya as she burns. I'm like, how long is this chick going to burn for? She's been burning for a long time. How is she still going? You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's powerful.
Childress is like, you destroyed me, Zoya. I have the taint of you in me forever. He charges at her, and then she stabs him. Like, why did you do that? Just, like, let her burn there. You know what I mean? It's just like, ah, yeah. I was so upset by this.
She's probably stabbing aimlessly, too. I don't think she can see anything.
Right, exactly. But he, like, lunged at her or whatever. Like, what are you going to do? She's on fire. You can't do anything. Anyway, tragic.
Yep.
Your blood in his name, she says, and then shunk. Baltimore is crushed when he sees that. I mean, like, one of the few panels where we see him, like, actually care about something and be emotional, his reaction there.
Yeah. Yep. As he screams, Thomas.
Oh, that sucked.
Yeah.
And it just keeps sucking.
Oh, no. Over with Team Ice Cross, Kid Hodge and Dr. Rose, they make a run for it. But Hodge can't make it. He's like, oh, there's blood in my mouth, right? Or does he says something like that?
Yeah,
oh,
wait, he says no, that. Yeah. I think there's blood in my mouth. I taste it. But Demetrius, Dr. Rose says, we can't just leave him. And they look back.
He hesitates. They look back. They want to go back for Ice Cross, but it's too late.
Yep.
What will become of him? Dr. Rose asks. So let's talk about this, right? What will become of him? Because we see his spirit leave his body, and then it turns into one of those things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I do like how, like, as Ice Cross is getting taken down by three wraiths, he's, like, killing another cultist with his thumb. He's, like, sticking
it in the eye. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, he's taking out one of those creeps, and even with his last moment.
Yeah. But, yeah, the spirit comes out, and he turns into a mustached ringwraith.
Oh, it does have a mustache, right?
Yeah, he looks exactly like Ice Cross.
It's him, and he looks at his own body. That's really, yeah, and then it just like kind of flies off. Man, that was crushing.
Yeah, he just joins in.
Yeah.
Especially when earlier he was like, there are enough ghosts here, right? And now he's one of them.
Yeah, he becomes a monster. It's worse than death, maybe.
The group make it to Mr. Martian, who immediately asks about the captain. They say Hodge is barely breathing. Dr. Rose is like, hang on, Hodge. You heard Captain Icecross. Baltimore can't do this without you.
Yeah, Marchand asks about the captain, and they say he's not coming. Dr. Rose says he's not coming.
Right, yeah. That was his bro. Maybe Marchand will be a new bro. Maybe he'll be one of the Baltimore bros now, hopefully. Back with Baltimore, he attends to Childress's body. The Red Witch appears. You've cost me much, Hollow Man, she says. And you've a higher price still to pay, Baltimore responds. Not I, Lord Baltimore, not I. And then she, like, summons these, like, red tendrils or something like that. They come out, they start getting Baltimore. You don't even understand what you are, she says. You think you're some kind of warrior, a hero. But you're just a thing, a pawn, an automaton. In the end, you'll matter not at all. But still, you must pay for this interference. Remember what it costs you if we meet again. And she takes Childress's dead body. And he's like, Thomas, no! That expression there, too,
right,
is really crushing.
Yep.
He just falls to his knees in defeat.
Like, some guy comes up to thank them.
Yeah.
And Sophia's like, no, dude. No, go someplace else, bro. Go someplace else.
Like, read the room, dude.
They all quietly stand around the burning bodies. Baltimore tells Rigo to see if any of the witches are alive.
Yeah, and at first, Baltimore, like, when they had Childress's body, Baltimore was like, all right, Harris, it's mercy now to kill him. Let's kill him, you know? And then she takes Childress's body, and now he's like, Rigo, find out if one of these witches is alive. He's like,
right.
I need information. Get me a live witch.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You take my bro. Now I'm going to have to do this. Mm-hmm. Over in Carthage, we see the dead Red King gang and the race. And there's the one of Ice Cross, right?
He looks sad.
He really does. Captain Ice Cross, he died to make sure the things we learned in Carthage made it back to Lord Baltimore. On the Mediterranean Sea, we see the ship at sea, and inside, Dr. Rose is taking the glasses off of Hodge, and his face is all blue. And I couldn't believe that. I was just like, what?
Right.
I was like, how are you going to do this to my boys? How are you going to do this to the bros?
Three out.
Man, and like two of them are from the original book, bros. You know what I mean? The original Baltimore bros, the only original OG bro is Dr. Rose.
Yep.
Now it falls on Dr. Rose to make sense of all the notes and writings from the temple, Mr. Kidd says. If you can't figure out what it means, the whole bloody human race would be no better than those wraiths back in Carthage, wandering a dead city. My thoughts exactly, Mr. Kidd, Dr. Rose responds, which is why I fear we've already lost. You can do it, Dr. Rose. I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Pull your shit together, man. You don't have a choice. Do or do not, man. Do it.
You're the OG bro now. Back in St. Petersburg, make no mistake, I will keep fighting against the Red King until whatever higher power that fuels me decides to finally let me rest. cuts my strings. But the truth cannot be denied. Everyone who gets close to me dies, and dies horribly. You should make your peace with that if you intend to continue this fight with me. We see it's Baltimore talking to Sophia.
Yeah.
I already have, she says.
It's cool. It's like sort of a mentor-mentee little program they have going on here.
He's like, we're going to be tortured together, and you're probably going to have a horrible death. And she's like, let's fucking do this. Like,
bring it on.
I'm so sorry. I know Thomas was the only one left who knew the man you once were, she says. But that gets interrupted by Harris calling over to Baltimore. He found one of the live witches. Baltimore approaches her. You look like a woman who wants to die. Tell me all you know about the Blood Red Witch, and I will grant you the release that has so long been denied me.
Ooh, so good.
The end. Yeah. I like how he's got the cigarette in his teeth as he's saying that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the saber right above the heart, and she's like touching his knee. She's like,
ugh. Yeah. So you can see why, like, I didn't want to stop reading when we read the when we did the first two issues that last time.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, this was so good. But man, I was so angry at the end of this. I was like, I can't believe they did this to the Baltimore Bros. How are they going to do this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I was thinking like, oh, something bad is going to happen to Childress. I already had like a bad idea about that.
But yeah.
I didn't think this many of them were going to go out, man. Like, gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Wow, yeah.
And I guess we're in the second omnibus, so does it start to get, like, pretty hairy? Like, I guess they're setting this up right now where it's like, I guess anybody could die, right?
Mm-hmm. Probably except for Baltimore.
Yeah, I guess so.
Otherwise, yeah. It wouldn't be called Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, but we've also experienced that there's definitely things worse than death, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for real.
Which I guess is also the experience that Baltimore is having. Although he's not possessed by a Red King or this other or anything else. You know, I was thinking too, I just thought of this with the blue-eyed wraiths, like whatever, like maybe that's an ancient god, who knows. But even the snake that was in that church in the first book, that had green eyes. There was like green eye stuff going on too, right? I wonder.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it all means something, you know?
We need the guide to eyes. We need him to ask Mark Tweedo about the eyes.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mark, tell us everything you know about the eyes.
What do the eyes mean? There's a great sketchbook section as well. There's a lot of, it does say that the covers are by Stenbeck. But we see some of his sketches. We see some of Berting's layouts and his sketches for Harish, the Blood Red Witch, and Zoya. We also see like a cool design of what the masks of designing those death masks.
Yeah.
There's some great Mignola sketches of the bats. The kites or whatever.
Right.
I'm going to see if they're in the back of the omnibus. I don't have the hardcover trade.
Yeah, Wes. So I'm looking at in the print. Are you on the digital omnibus or in the print one?
Oh, I'm on both. I just pulled out the print one. But is it in the back? Okay. I guess it would be.
The digital one, it's like $5.72.
$5.72.
Somewhere. I'm pretty sure the print one is about the same page. Guiafaro? I guess that's what these bat creatures are called.
Okay.
That's interesting.
This is a sweet Berting.
Yeah, Baltimore the Berting sketches there. Of the race are pretty cool. We get some of the layouts by Berting of the pages as well. Good stuff. I always like seeing these cover concepts. We get some of those too from Ben Stenbeck.
This sweet ice cross in there. Harish, I love his character studies. Man, they're awesome.
They're really cool, yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, these death masks are sweet.
I like how it says that, talking about the cover, Ben Stenbeck did the first cover, but we wanted to go with something bolder. Ben did the sketches on the facing page, and we chose the top right sketch. And it's just like, and then the comment that Ben made to us about how, like, that he wouldn't draw that.
Oh, but he did do it. He did the layout for it, yeah. I guess.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Obviously, that doesn't look like he's playing with his toys in the bathtub.
That's awesome. I love that. Good stuff. Yeah. Well, man, it's like, I do want to see where this goes next, but this is a low note for me. This is like when we were reading BPRD and we were reading all that Wasteland stuff. Do you remember that? That was depressing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this was, I mean, it was good, man. I mean, this was a great story, but it just hit in a certain way where I was like, man.
Missing all the Baltimore Bros.
Yeah, I mean.
Picked off one by one.
I really like Simon Hodge. Simon Hodge is one of my favorite characters, I think, to join the Baltimore Bros.
Yeah.
And then Childress was awesome. I mean, Ice Cross has obviously been there from the beginning, too. He's so cool. And anyway, They got rid of all the ugly ones. No, they got Rigo in there to be ugly because he's got all the scratches all over his face. But, you know, they talked about Ice Cross being ugly, and then Childress had that big scar, and Simon Hodge was me. So
no, Simon Hodge was a dreamboat. Yeah.
So anyway, I mean,
give them time. They'll get ugly over time. They just need to get some scars.
Yeah. But anyway.
And Dr. Rose only has 6 fingers left.
But I guess they've got to do that. And we're in the second omnibus. So I guess, like, you know, it's going to get pretty hairy. Things are going to get serious as we move on. But man, that really set the tone for, I guess, what these last couple issues are going to be like. I mean, yeah, we'll do it. We'll get through it.
It's getting there.
Well, I'm excited to hear what you guys thought. Let us know how crushed you were after reading these issues. I want to hear your reacts. And now Aubrey's going to say all the things.
All right, everybody, like John said, write into us and share us your thoughts. You can send us a Hey You Damn Guys at bookclubmembercomics@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at bookclubmembercomics and on Twitter at bookclubmembers. And as always, you can always find all of our resources on our Podbean website and our link trees on our socials. We'd like to give a special thanks to Paul Fagatahan for the listener feedback theme. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Our main theme is from Only Beast. Check out their new album, Long Con. It is so good. Also, check out their first album, too. Again, I was listening to that one the other day.
Oh, thanks, man.
So pretty badass. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. And when you're there, why don't you open it up and give us that 5-star review? Every little bit helps. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing, tell a friend. Have them join the book club. Everybody wants to be a book club member.
Do it!
Next week, we're going to be reading The Hood by Brian K. Vaughan and Kyle Hotz. So you guys know what to do. Pull out them digitals, them trades, them omnis, those floppies. Travel back in time and just hang out with Brian K. Vaughan as he's writing it. And join us next week on Book Club Member Comics.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm John Salinas.
I'm a yellow-eyed dude who likes getting in pillow fights with witches.
And I'm Avi Lola saying, before dawn, it'll be your blood in the snow.
Oh, he's going to get you.
No.